Brother Davison shared with us. It's important to get saved, but to provide that consolation and that comfort for your family by letting them know that you're saved means a great deal. So look what I traded for a mansion. All right. I want to say again, we're glad to have everyone with us. And we have a young couple with us that are living in the apartments next door to our church, and they're here for the first time, and I wanted to tell them that we're glad that they came today. We hope they all enjoy the service and will come back again. If you have your Bible today and you'd care to follow along, turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to read four verses, beginning at verse 54. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. And he said also to the people, this is Jesus. I'm going to read what Jesus said to the people. When ye see a cloud rise of out of the west, excuse me. When ye see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now that's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for a little while, Understanding the Signs of the Times. Understanding the Signs of the Times. This world that we live in had a beginning. We all know that, don't we? In fact, the Bible says in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 24, that God that made the worlds and everything that is therein dwelleth not in temples made with hands. The point I wanted to make, the Bible says that God made the world. He made everything in it. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God began to bring the world out of this void state that it was in. He brought order out of chaos. And He began to make time. The Bible tells us that God, you know, He said, let there be light, and there was light. And then it tells us that God called the evening and the morning the first day. So God created time. Time was made for this world and for the inhabitants of this world. God even created a system whereby we could keep time. He made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. And He said, are there not 24 hours in a day? And so we know that God created time. And That same scripture said that He is Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. So I wanted to just emphasize that God made this world, and it had a beginning, and it's going to have an end as well. Matthew chapter 24, the Bible tells us that Jesus and His disciples were walking around the temple area of Jerusalem. And they were showing to Him the beautiful things of the temple. And Jesus said that there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so the disciples ask Him, Lord, when shall these things be? When these beautiful temples are going to be destroyed? And in addition to that, they ask Him, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming? And in addition to that, they said, and of the end of the world. Well, the answer to that question concerning when the temples were going to be destroyed, that was fulfilled in 70 AD when the Romans invaded Jerusalem and they destroyed the beautiful buildings of the temple. Jesus had said many times during His personal ministry that He was going away and that He would come again. Well, that hasn't been fulfilled yet, but it will be fulfilled. And the question concerning the end of the world, that hasn't been fulfilled yet, but it will be. And the Apostle Peter tells us how it will be done. He said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which of the heavens being on fire, and I may have to go over there and read that. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and beginning at verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now that simply means nobody knows when it will take place. It says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now that's how the end of the world is going to come about. It's going to come as a thief in the night. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew and also in the Gospel of Luke, he said that of that day and hour knoweth no man. Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, having said those things now, I want to talk for a few moments about the signs of His first coming. You know, God promised Eve, after they had sinned, He, speaking to the devil, made this promise to Adam and Eve. He said to the devil, because thou hast done this thing, that is, tempted Eve to sin. And then Adam, he voluntarily and deliberately took of the fruit that Eve gave to him. And that they became sinners. And the Lord said to the devil, He said, because you've done this, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He said, between thy seed and her seed, he shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head. So God promised, a Savior, promised Adam and Eve and the rest of the world, everyone who has ever lived in the world, had the promise from Almighty God that the time would come when the seed of the woman would destroy the serpent, the devil. And I could go through the Old Testament talking about the signs, but I'm not going to do that. But there were many prophecies concerning the first coming, the fulfillment of that first promise. The time came when, as the prophet had said, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. And she did. And her name was Mary. And when her baby was born, she called him Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. He was indeed the fulfillment of that first promise that God made to the first family that ever lived on the earth. And so the Lord Jesus, he began his personal ministry. He had a forerunner. His forerunner's name was John. There were many prophecies concerning John, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He would be a voice in the wilderness saying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He would be a messenger who would come and would introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. John was baptizing. He had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And many people repented. There were multitudes that went out to hear him. And many of those, out of those multitudes, did repent. And they believed on Jesus. They believed that he was the Christ, the Savior, the one that had been promised. And they believed in him. John was baptizing down in the river Jordan. He required a testimony of salvation. He required evidence of repentance. And he used these words to do it. He said, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet or suitable for repentance. And begin not to say to yourselves that we have Abraham to our father." Abraham was chosen of God to be the beginning of the Hebrew nation. And Abraham, the Bible said God promised him that he would bless him and that he would be with him. He'd make his descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sands of the sea. He was the father of that great nation of people that became known as the children of Israel. It all began with him. But God had said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that, and I'm talking now about John the Baptist, and I almost lost my thought, but thank the Lord he gave it back to me. John was saying, and begin not to say unto yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father." He said, "For God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." You know, you can't inherit salvation from somebody else. You know, salvation is a personal thing. And each person has to go to the Lord Jesus themselves for salvation. And that's why John said, don't tell me about being Abraham's seed. You know, I believe Abraham found the Lord. I believe he knew the Lord. But that didn't automatically make his descendants children of God. He only baptized those who could give some evidence that they had repented of their sins and had been saved by the grace of God. One day while he was baptizing in the Jordan River, he looked and he saw the Lord Jesus coming in his direction. And John pointed him out. I said he introduced him. He was the messenger that was sent before the Lord Jesus to prepare a people for the Lord. And he pointed him out. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now that was significant because the children of Israel, they had a system of worship that required physically offering animals as sacrifices to God in token of their faith in the promise that God had made to send his son. And the Bible said those animal sacrifices could never take away sin. Not one of them saved anybody. They were just types and shadows of the sacrifice that Jesus would make at Calvary that could save people. You're not saved by the blood of animals, but you're saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus. And so Jesus began his ministry. He began by being baptized himself, setting the example for his followers. You know, Jesus began his church. He set it up. He established it. He is the head. He is the founder. And he set the example. He is the chief cornerstone in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we who have been saved are lively stones that have also been set in that church. And he said, you know, John said, you've come to me to baptize you. I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, because it behooveth us or becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized the Lord Jesus. And he began his personal ministry. He began teaching. Now, to save a little bit of time, I'm going to move forward a little. John the Baptist was preaching, and people were being saved. And Jesus was preaching, and people were being saved. And the apostles were preaching, and people were being saved. You know, the gospel, the message of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe it. It is still that way today. Yet it still requires believing the record that God gave of his son. And it also believes not only believing the record, but it means putting your faith and trust in Jesus as the Savior of your soul. Well, after a while, John was cast into prison. All of you probably know that story. He stood before, I believe it was Herod. And Herod had taken his brother's wife away from him. And so John the Baptist, he said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Well, I don't know whether it made Herod mad or not, but it sure did make his wife mad. And so as a result of that, John was cast into prison. And after a while, her daughter's birthday came along. And Herod had said, I'll give you anything you want. You know, even to the half of my kingdom, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And she didn't know what to ask for, so she went in and said, Mama, what should I ask for? She said, I want you to ask for the head of John the Baptist. And so she went in and she told Herod, I want the head of John the Baptist. And Herod regretted making that promise. He wished he hadn't have done it. But to save face, he went on and he ordered John beheaded. And they brought John in, his head in on a platter, on a charger. Now, I've got ahead of myself. In fact, I never even thought about saying all of that. The point is, while John was sitting in prison, he got to thinking. You know, and so he called two of his servants or his fellow laborers. And he said, I want you to make a little trip over to the prison. I want you to ask Jesus, are you really the one that was promised? Or should we look for another? And Jesus said to John, or said to them, I'm going to turn over to Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to read this. And this is what it says. Jesus answered and said unto them, you go and show John those things which ye do see and hear. Now I'm talking about the signs of the times. I'm talking about the signs that were evident, that were unmistakable, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That Jesus was Lord, that Jesus was Savior. He said, you go and show those things which ye do hear and see. He said, the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The dead, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And this is, I think, perhaps the most wonderful part of what he said. He said, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now those were signs. They were signs of the time. They were signs that Jesus had arrived. They were signs of that promise that God made to Adam and Eve had been fulfilled. He said, listen, the blind received their sight. Old blind Bartimaeus sitting by the wayside, he heard Jesus coming by. And he began to cry out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and he said, bring that man to me. And they brought Bartimaeus to him. And Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you want? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said, receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. I don't remember reading about anybody else could do that. Then it says the lame walk. There was that man that had been born, crippled. Been that way all of his life. They carried him every day. Set him in front of the temple. And he begged, asked for alms. Peter and John came along. And he asked an alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he reached forth his hand, and that old boy grabbed his hand, and he jumped up, and he began running up and down the street, rejoicing, praising God. Peter, he professed before the Sanhedrin court. It wasn't me that done that. It was Jesus that done that. The lepers cleansed. Old Naaman, he was a leper in Israel. He got cleansed, but the Bible said that he's the only one that did. Until Jesus come along. And there were 10 lepers. One of them said, and this may be two different instances, but I don't think it is. One of them said to the Lord, Lord, if you will, you can heal me of my leprosy. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And instantly he was cleansed of his leprosy. Of all the lepers that lived back through the years, I tell you, nobody could heal but the Lord. And he healed him of his leprosy. And it says in the deaf hear, people that could not hear, Jesus opened their ears and they could hear and the blind could see. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Lord. He said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. The very Son of God. No question. Jesus said, the works that I do, they testify of me. They were signs that the Son of God had come to the world to save sinners. And he did forgive sin. There was one time four men took a friend of theirs who was sick. He was a paralytic, or I may not have said that right. But anyway, he was crippled. He couldn't walk. He is sick. They picked up his bed, carried him to Jesus. And they got there, and they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. But they would not be denied. They went up the steps on the outside of the building, up to the roof, took up a portion of the tile from the roof, and let him down in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to that man, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Pharisee said, oh, he's committed blasphemy. Nobody can forgive sins but God. And Jesus, knowing their faults, he said that you might know that the power that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. I say unto thee, rise, take up your bed and walk. And the man got up and he began to walk. I'm telling you, Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. He can forgive sin. That's the most wonderful thing that Jesus ever did, is forgive sin. All these other things were wonderful. They benefited those who were touched by the Lord. Benefited them physically. But I'm telling you, when Jesus forgives your sins, it'll benefit you eternally. Benefit you eternally. It'll make you a fit subject to go to heaven. It'll make you make you a saint. Make you an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And some of these days, we're going to be with Him in glory. Now I've got a. I want to go back to my lesson a minute. You know, Jesus said to these people, they were unbelievers. He called them hypocrites. Now I don't know why. I'm going to tell you what I think about this. I think He called them hypocrites because they thought they knew everything. But they really didn't know anything. You know, He said to them, when you see a cloud in the west, He said, you say straightway, we're going to have rain, a shower. Well, you know, most of our rain comes from the southwest across the United States. I don't know if it, I guess that was true in Palestine too, I don't know. But anyway, when we see the clouds in the west, you know, and they come across the southern part of the United States and on going east, you know, and we say, well, it looks like it's going to rain. Occasionally we get a rain from a different direction. I was talking to somebody out front this morning, and they said that the rain was coming down from Elizabethtown, down this way, you know. And whoever it was said, you know, we don't get rain out of that from that direction very often. And that's true, we don't. But he said, that's a sign. Cloud in the west, that's a sign we're going to have rain. He said, and when you see the south wind blow, wind coming out of the south, so you say, it's going to be hot tomorrow, you know. The wind coming out of the south. And you say, then it cometh to pass, you know. You look at certain signs, you know, and you come to certain conclusions, you know. But Jesus said, you hypocrites, you can design the face of the sky and of the earth. You pay attention to these physical signs that you see. And you have faith in them. You believe in them. You turn your television on, you watch the weather forecast. And you turn, you know, and he said, we're going to have rain tomorrow. And the rain don't come. You know. So you turn them on the next morning. See what he's got to say. You know. And he said, well, we didn't get the rain yesterday, but we're going to get it tomorrow. And it still don't come sometime. You know. Some of these signs that people look at, you know, they're right some of the time and they're wrong some of the time. But I want to tell you, that the signs that identify the Lord Jesus Christ have never, ever been wrong. They have never been wrong. They are right 100% of the time. And so he says then to them, he said, yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now, that's kind of a hard statement to understand. But I believe this is what it means. I believe that you personally are going to have to make the judgment about whether Jesus is Lord or not. Your mom and dad can't make it for you. Your husband or wife can't make it for you. You're the only one that can satisfy yourself that Jesus is Savior and that Jesus forgives sins. You're the only one can do it. Now, I was going to say a lot more, but I'm not. I'm going to save that one for another time. But I want to say this to you. Are you ready? You know, Jesus said He's coming back. Everything else He said come true. Don't you believe that one too? Don't you believe Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel? Don't you believe that this world that we're living in is one day going to be destroyed? It's going to be burnt up and everything that's in it? Don't you believe today that you need to get right with God? You're the only one that can settle that. I'm happy to preach. I'm happy to preach. The Lord called me, and I was 16. And I did not acknowledge that calling until I was 21 years old. But it never, ever left me. Oh, I'd get free of it for a little while, once in a while, and then the Lord would remind me again, you know. I wasn't too happy then about being a preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. But today I'm glad I'm a preacher. I'm glad today that I can tell you about Jesus. I'm glad I can tell you what Jesus has done and what He's still doing. He's still Lord. He's still saving. He's still healing. I believe that. I believe all healing comes from God. And I'm glad I can tell you, remind you, show you in the Bible the signs concerning who Jesus was. And I'm glad I can point you to Him. Jesus said, be ye therefore ready. I know we're now talking about the signs of the end time, and I'm not going to go into them. I'm just going to say there are many signs that point to the fact that Jesus is coming again. That the world's going to be destroyed. Evil is growing by leaps and bounds. Wickedness, spiritual darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. It's growing. But one of these days it's going to be put out, going to be extinguished. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready to meet Him? There's a song we used to sing. We read in the Bible that Jesus is coming. Be ready to go. Be ready to go. For you know not what hour or what day the Son of Man cometh. Let's have a song, Brother Wayne. Maybe today is your day. And you're the only one that can make it your day. Jesus is ready and willing to save. Any day, any hour, day or night, Jesus is ready to save. But He won't save unless you want to be saved. You have to desire salvation. You have to want to be saved. You have to be willing to seek the Lord. You have to be willing to forsake your ways, forsake your thoughts, and come to Jesus. And this could be your day if you come. I want to give you that opportunity to bow and pray while we stand and sing. Will you come?
197. 197 as